Welcome. In Breathing Air, Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and I do want to thank you very much for coming in again. This is Jennifer Hellman. This is live, and this is air. Tonight, I would like to introduce, and I thought it's very fitting tonight with the new moon in Libra, and it's all about relationships and your relationship with yourself and the people around you, with your relationships with money and every kind of relationship you can think of, to actually have a couple of wonderful people who are love experts. Scott and Shannon Peck, I met them at a wonderful conference in San Diego. We immediately just clicked, and I am so very blessed to have them as good friends now. They have this very powerful vibration that just radiates love, and they truly are love experts. They are the founder of the Love Center, which is a nonprofit educational organization dedicated to raising the universal love awareness and awakening a world of love masters. And I thank you so much, both Scott and Shannon, to be on the show.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's great to be here.
We're delighted to spend some more time with you.
It's awesome. You guys are Love Master teachers. You do workshops. You have co-authored like 6 books?
Five, I think.
5?
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. Well, you would know that, hopefully. The book that I was blessed with having presented to me was The Love Skills for Personal and Global Transformation, this Secrets of the Love Master. So, right quick, what is a love master?
Well, you know, we have webmasters in the world that are experts at putting together websites, and more we need them. We have concert masters, and what the world really needs now are love masters, people who are experts at loving themselves, experts at creating intimacy, experts at solving problems and creating peace, and really experts at intuition and healing, and who really are just as good at love as anybody as you can find on Earth. So, the good news is that we're all capable of being fabulous love masters.
That's awesome. Now, the book is highly praised. I was looking through the people that you have. You mean got your Chopra? I mean, you've got all these very big names. You're saying these are a beautiful little book that is just timeless. I mean, in this book, you give some practices, would you say? Or what would you call?
I think that's a good idea. You know, we call them skills, love skills. We have computer skills, and each application requires skills, and all the software requires skills, and we're in a skill universe now. And really, love is just as much of a technology technique as anything else, because it can be learned very simply. Very simply, we can learn to love ourselves. We can learn to create intimacy anytime we want. We can learn to turn open our hearts and to become transparent and to learn when it's safe emotionally and when it's not. We can learn to expand our hearts full of love. We can have a whole life full of love. And these are simple skills.
For example, Jen, when we met, the three of us met each other. We met you at a mm-hmm. workshop recently. We felt loved by you a lot, and I think you felt loved by us. So,
yes.
What is it that people do when you feel loved? And everybody listening to this show can just think of people that when they're with them, they feel loved. But rather than thinking of that as a mystical or a secret, we are helping people get beneath the surface and learn, you know, there's things that people do that cause others to feel loved, and they're all learnable skills.
Well, that's, you know, do you think people are afraid to love? I mean, truly love?
There's no question. There's so many. When we do our workshops, there are people who come in, and you know immediately the ones who have been absolutely wounded and brokenhearted, but they're coming back again, and that takes a lot of courage. And who hasn't had failed relationships? We don't even look at it as failed relationships. It's such a label. It's really, what have you learned? There's we have opportunities to learn so much from our relationships, the so-called successes as well as the failures. And really, just opening the heart again and going back in there with courage and willingness to learn how to express yourself, how to operate within a relationship, how to be loving and to receive love are very simple things to do. You know, Scotty said that when we met you, gosh, I think it was just about a week ago, and you were talking about our vibration that radiates love. You, hello, have the vibration that radiates love because you're so warm. You're just warm and friendly and easy to come close to, and you're immediately intimate and transparent. So it immediately opens our hearts, and this is the kind of thing we're talking about. It's not rocket science.
Well, it for me at least, I have learned from my past relationships, and it also, the one thing I learned is that the people that come into my life reflects me in some way.
Yeah.
And it's just being open to seeing what the mirror is reflecting back. Because you really, and that goes with everybody in your life. I mean, just not the intimate relationships. It's your family, your friends, even people that just, like you and I, just met out of the blue. I mean, but there was an incident. You guys radiated love, so I radiated it back. It just instantly just raise the vibration just by your presence.
Oh,
and I'm not saying
you.
That I don't be loving all the time, but it just, it made me feel safe. And I think that's the one thing that a lot of people who are afraid, they don't feel safe to allow that love to show.
There's no question about it. And both Shannon and I, well, right now, I'm grateful. I feel like I'm the happiest married man in the universe. But I had two previous marriages, each 7 years, that ended in divorce, and I was so unhappy during those marriages that when the second one was over, I thought, well, I'm successful at a lot of things in life, but love is not one of those things I'm successful at. And I really just figured, well, I'm going to be single for the rest of my life because I don't have what it takes to have a loving relationship, obviously, with two marriages that didn't work. So I really understand in a very personal way how people feel when they've given up on love or they feel like it's not possible for them.
I can totally relate. I was in a marriage. I would totally call it a miserable marriage for 18 years. And I had to learn how to create safety for myself within the marriage, mostly emotional safety because there was a lot of explosion. And it was, harmony and love were very fragile. So we become wise in discerning who we're around. You don't just go around puppy love opening up to anybody and everybody because not everybody's open to that. Some people are so guarded and have so many mechanisms and so many walls and defenses that they tend to be very, let's say, they put you off. And it can be mean. So you want to make sure that you're talking to someone who has the same expression of interest in love and opening the heart and being real and going from there with intimacy as you do. Really important.
So if you meet somebody who, let's just say, has a few walls and you can tell they have a few walls, they have been hurt, and hesitant to kind of even interact. It's like they're very private. It's like you can be very open to everything, but you just feel like they need to feel more safe before they really express it. What would you suggest to someone who really thinks there's something very special. How would you get through those walls?
You know, I think respect is the most important thing. The politeness, the respect to, if someone's walled up, honestly, I know quite a few people, some people even in my family, some people who are close to me, who are not, they don't come from the heart, and they have no interest in that. They don't feel safe for whatever reason. They're not interested. And I think there needs to be willingness to be part of the tribe in order to have a player with you. I wouldn't really waste my time trying to change someone who really is not ready and doesn't want to open the heart and be a player.
You know, I agree with that. And what came to me, Jen, when you asked that question, what does somebody do when they don't feel safe or they haven't in the past? My feeling is get to know people, get friends around you, whether they're men or women, who honor you and cause you to feel unconditionally safe. Be with those people. Like, for example, that's one of the things that why we're on this show with you right now, because we felt safe with you, you felt safe with us. And why is that? Because there was unconditional love right off the bat. We didn't have a screening, we just felt it. And if somebody had come up to us and was abusive or even mean or had a chip on their shoulder and asked us to be in their radio show, we would have just politely declined. So everybody has the opportunity to go find the people that make you happy and that honor you at the level of soul, that really cause you to feel that you can be open and you're not going to be judged.
Really important. In my book, Love Heals, How to Heal Everything with Love, I'm a spiritual healer. And there's a chapter called Toxic Relationships, and people have told me for years that they thumb through the book and that's the first chapter they read. They really relate to that. And so identifying, well, what could lead to a toxic relationship? It's where you really become sensitive to how you're being treated. If you're being judged, condemned, accused, manipulated, controlled, if that's the interest someone has in knowing you, then you've got yourself a toxic relationship, and that's something you don't want to deal with. You don't want to stay in one of those.
And so many people think, well, you know, this is just the way life is. This is the person I've met at the moment. But the truth is, in love, is that what you're carrying within your heart and your mind and your consciousness creates the love that is possible for you. One of the things you say on your card that I love so much is that believing in possibilities brings opportunities. That's your quote, and I love it. And so what we, and I agree with that, because when you're thinking, okay, I'm only going to be with people who are honoring me and loving me, and I'm going to believe that that's possible, well, guess what? You're going to start meeting that type of person, and you will be repelled by or not want to be with anybody who's less than that.
Okay, my question to you then is, let's say there's somebody within a family that really repels you. How do you handle that kind of situation?
I think that's the toughest one of all.
Do you want to do a role play?
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, let me just say this. In all honesty, we can, I think as we grow up, whatever age that might be, sometimes takes us to where I'm still growing up and, you know, like, but you can let friends go and you can bring new friends into your life, but family is the one area where it's you can't just dismiss people. You're still there. You still have Christmas. You still have Thanksgiving. You still have relationships that you can't get around. So I think that, and so often, the people who come to our workshops, I think people in general, there's someone in their family that's very toxic, that's very unloving or not honoring. So I just want to say right off the bat, that's a tough one and calls on whoever is having to deal with that to have the real advanced skills of a love master. Of our 60 love skills in that book, 8 of them deal with turning conflict into peace.
One of the things I'll add to that is that I think the among the spiritual people, the people who feel that they're on a spiritual path, that would be people probably who do meditation, maybe some yoga, read spiritual books, practice observation and pray and these kinds of things, these people are often vastly disregarded in the family situation. They're like the person that nobody understands, and the rest of the family has this tribal thing going on, and the spiritual person is not particularly understood or accepted. Maybe they're not appreciated for those gifts. You know, yourself being a psychic, that must have been hard growing up unless your family was also psychic. How did that feel?
Well, I was kind of, I kept my abilities really to myself. My mom used to always say I have an overactive imagination when I was growing up.
That's sweet.
But when I actually went to him and said, you know, I'm psychic and that's what I'm doing for a living now, my dad laughed and literally called me a scam artist. So he definitely rejected me from that respect. And I turned around and said, my parents raised me to respect people regardless of what they do for a living. And you can't do that for your daughter. That shut him down and made him rethink of how he was interacting with me. And now he's very respectful.
Wonderful.
But it took a while to do that. But we just built on it. A lot of judgments happened within the family about it as well.
Well, can I just compliment you, because I'd like to use that as an example. You, because that happens to a lot of people. And what I hear that you did that brought success is that, first of all, you spoke up. You were visible. You didn't shrink and just say, okay, I guess I'll just take it and take it in too. I guess I am a scam artist, and I guess I maybe am not worthy. You spoke up, but you did something else. You spoke up with kindness, not anger. And that's one of our love skills, to be able to speak with kindness and honesty at the same moment. And you pointed out to him, hey, you raised me to be respectful of people.
Yeah, wow.
What you did was an example, a perfect example of being a love master.
Yeah, truly, because it was loving to yourself to stand in your own light at that moment and really require that you speak and honor and speak your feelings and be respectful to them, but not cower back from your light. That was a big turning point. And yay, because by standing in your light, they were able to go past their judgment, and which was really based on ignorance anyway, and be able to come back into a place of love for you, or show you that love. I'm sure they've never stopped loving you.
And for people who aren't as successful as you, because, let's just say the parents aren't as receptive to changing, and some people, you know, are not, then we have to be real careful that we don't let their negativity create our own lack of self-esteem or degrade our self-esteem. Because, for example, you know that you're very good at what you do as a intuitive life coach and a psychic and an energy practitioner. That's who you are, and you know you're good at it, just as we're good at teaching people about love and being a love master. So if we come into the energy of someone who thinks that we're not good or that you're not good, we have to be careful not to accept that energy and let that define us.
And that happens a lot, and you just, you know.
Yeah, it does.
If I get around somebody, and this is just me, if I feel something negative, I just send it love and blessings and kind of hope they get a clue.
That's
because,
so wonderful.
You know, that's the one message that I get from Spirit quite often is, you are love and you are loved and you have to share it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that message. I mean, I was in a serious car accident where I died, went to the other side, and literally that's all they said is, you are love, and sent me back on my way. And it's just, you get that powerful message. It's like, you got to pay attention.
Yeah.
What a wonderful experience.
Wow.
For you to have. Can you tell us more about that?
It was a head-on collision with a drunk driver in the middle of nowhere. I had two friends sleeping in the car. It was 10 48 at night. And basically I saw the guy coming and I just swerved so my friends did not get as hurt. And the car really, we all should be killed. We should have been killed. The cops said that it's amazing we were alive. Thank you, Toyota. but literally I just went into it was the void of creation is what they said it was. And literally I just heard a very strong, loving voice say, "You are love." And I literally, it just was that quick. And then I was back and I said, came back and I said, "No, I want to go to sleep because I wanted to go back over there." Because it was so loving and so, I mean, it was just so blissful and so welcoming. And you don't always get that over here. So it was, you know, just let me sleep. And they would not let me sleep. But from that, I just literally knew that there was something more that I needed to do. There was more people I needed to meet. And from that, things definitely did shift for me. I took a different approach to the way I looked at relationships and who was coming into my life, and really did see how they were affecting me, and switched my attitudes, switched the way I was living. I mean, before that happened and shortly after it, I was very insecure in relationships. And that definitely started a trend to really make me look at what I do. I developed, my guides gave me a term that if I'm feeling a way of checking in with myself, and it's INOB, which is individual notion of being, because at every moment you choose how you're going to be. And when they first brought it to me, it was at the end of a relationship that I was in during that accident. And I said, "Okay, what's my responsibility in this relationship for it to break up?" And they said, "You became an INOB, an insecure, nagging, obsessive bitch." And I said, "Okay, thank you. That's a wake-up call." Because it really explained how I got insecure with the relationship. So I started bugging him and nagging him about it. I became obsessed with the fact that he wasn't paying attention and that I actually was kind of like pushing him away. And I was just... well, I wasn't the nicest person at the time. So it really gave me a wake-up call, and they said, "Well, you can switch it." And now I'm an independent, nurturing, optimistic babe. So it just lets me know, it's a clue. It's like if I'm, you know, working or something, and they say INOB, it's like, okay, where am I? I just check in with how I'm feeling about the situation or what's going on, to see where I am. So it's just a way for me to check in with where I am about insecurity and obsessiveness. I tend to be obsessed, not necessarily about a person, but what I'm doing and what's going on. I get very focused. So my obsession is more a focus than in really a negative state now. But that's one way I started cluing into observing myself and my actions, my emotions. Feelings to me are huge. You really, especially with the energy coming in, you've got to feel what is going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have people telling me all the time, "I want to feel God. I want to feel that love." And, you know, we're really past the age of intellectualizing the spirit. We're really into the feeling aspect, the energy, the vibration. We want to know. We want confirmation. We're tired of the words. We want the experience. I think that's very exciting. I think it's wonderful that you are really trusting your feelings and really validating your feelings, which, you know, of course, Americans aren't supposed to do that. We're all taught to invalidate our feelings and push them down and shove them down and don't let them out. And yet you're doing the very opposite. You're becoming visible with your own feelings to yourself and even, you know, being comfortable with that in the world. It's wonderful. It's so healthy.
Well, I grew up and I was very repressed. I mean, I really held everything in. And all of a sudden, I would just blow up with these huge anger fits, tantrums, as my lovely family would call them. And then I finally got to a point that I actually went to a psychologist because I needed help. I was just getting so depressed about all the repressed feelings.
Yeah.
And when I was 16, and they said, you got to let your emotions out, regardless of how the other person feels.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, the explosions are going to be so big, it's either going to drag you down or, you know, you're going to go to one extreme or the other. So, again, my dad said, don't, you know, yell at me. And I said, I need to let my feelings out. And I don't mean to take it out like this, but I need to let you know how I feel. And when you put it out there that you just, this is the way you feel, it makes a huge difference on how the other person reacts.
Yeah, it helps them understand and to be empathetic, to put themselves in your shoes and to really understand you. It's a wonderful thing. You're almost having to train everyone around you to be oriented towards their feelings, which is wonderful.
Well, I'm also attracting a lot of people now who trust their gut and willing to express it. So that makes a big difference as well.
That's wonderful.
So, I mean, I got you two here.
Yay!
yay! And I immediately, we met in San Diego, and it just immediately just, we connected so well. So how did you two, okay, Scott had two failed marriages. You had one. Now, how did you guys get together then, and what was the process for you to do your books and become love experts?
Well, thank you for asking. I remember that I was after my second marriage was over, and I thought I'd be single forever. I don't know how long after, but I began to, you know, after the feeling of so much failure, I'm spiritually minded, so I was always trying to tune in. What is the lesson? What am I needing to hear? And from source or divine love or whatever you want to call it. And the idea started trickling in slowly to my heart that I deserved to be loved. And I thought, well, yeah. And I kept thinking, well, why did I choose two wives that didn't love me well, that I love them more than they love me? And I started getting the message, you know, well, Scott, you can choose. If you're going to be in another relationship, you can choose somebody that's going to love you as much as you love her, or maybe even love me more than I love her. And then I thought, and so that thought started developing, and it felt so good, and it was a new consciousness for me. Because, you know, if I hadn't had that consciousness, I'd just go out and repeat the same story a third time, and I didn't want to do that. So then I got another insight, and that was, yes, I deserve to be loved, and this is really my spiritual right. It's everybody. We all deserve this. And so, and once I had that in my consciousness, it was real funny because I had been dating a little bit there, and I just said, I don't even need to date. Now I understand this is going to happen because I got to the place of knowing of what it is that I deserve. And I had been working on I live in San Diego, and I'd been working on a conference in Los Angeles, to a conference on love for teenagers, to help those teenagers who were thinking of suicide or couldn't get along with their families and all that. And that was an all-day conference at UCLA, and that's where I met my wife, Shannon. And when she started talking, we had a training program beforehand. As soon as she started talking, I thought, I'm going to have a long relationship with that woman. I didn't know what it was going to be, but it felt like she was the one. And so that's how it happened from my side.
And from my side, I had studied the 18 years of marriage and really studied it as a student of relationship and love. Why was it failing? Why was it so miserable? What could I do? What was within my power to alter it, to change it? Could I be better? Could I be more? Could I, you know, what would it take? And I learned a lot from my inquisition, my inquiry, I should say. He left, actually, eventually. And when he left, during the months that followed, I learned so much because I really was in deep prayer. I was in a very quiet place. And I wanted to learn. And it's funny how Spirit answers prayers. One day I was looking at a magazine. You know, I'm not even much of a magazine reader, but I was flipping open pages. And there was this, I turned to this page, and it was this full-page ad. Maybe it was about dairy. I don't know what it was, but there were two cows. I love cows. Two heads, and one cow was facing the other cow, and he was licking the side of the face of this cow. And the cow that was being licked had this, you know, half-closed eyes and this long neck, looking like she was enjoying it immensely, receiving this nurturing. And I tore that out of the magazine, and I said, and I put it up in my bedroom so I could see it every day. And I said, I want to be the cow that's being licked, because I've always been the one that is licking the other one. I'm the nurturer in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it was my turn to receive, too, because there was no question I was going to give. But I hadn't paid attention to the fact that I also want to receive. So I decided that what I was looking for, if I was to marry again, would be someone that not only could be a friend to me, but kind and nurturing as well, and someone who had a tremendous capacity to love, because I'm a really loving person. I love to give. That makes me happy. And I knew that he wouldn't have to worry about me giving to him. I just wanted to make sure I wouldn't have to be worried about receiving love, because he was as big a giver as I was. And in walked Scotty. And, you know, I can't say enough to setting your intentions high like that, because that was very specific. That was through self-inquiry. And I learned that about myself, that what it's going to take if I go another round in marriage in order to really be happy and really hit that love at a 10. And that's where we are. I'm truly the happiest married woman in the universe.
You calling me a cow?
Moo!
I'm the good cow.
Yeah, you are.
Well, happy cows come from California.
Yeah. I know.
Right.
You know, when I was raised in Wisconsin, the cow country, and I came out here, and it was so funny to see all these happy cows ads. That's pretty funny.
In the sunshine.
But I want to say, Jen, to everybody listening, that if you don't think of the story of what's happened to Shannon and me as something that is not part of your life, because the reason that we're on this show, really, and the reason we write the books and talking is because we want this for you, and we know that it's possible for everyone, but you have to have standards. You have to know what love isn't so that you won't accept that, and you have to know what love is and get good at knowing what that love is. I loved your statement, Jen, when you said, you know, when you, in a sense, when you said you had the accident and came back, you are love, and you are loved, and you have to share it. That's how Shannon and I feel about our marriage. We know that we are love, and we know that we're loved, and we know that we have to share that. And so the happiest thing for me right now is to give hope to anybody listening, because this is not only a possibility, it's really a fact. If you will become an expert in love and open your heart and get good at these love skills, you won't have to go find somebody or find the love. It'll be attracted to you.
It definitely is. I do want to open the phone lines real quick. The number is 888-815-9756. If you have any questions, comments, please feel free to call in. I've been told that if we want to go a little longer tonight, we can. So we might. We'll just see how it goes. First of all, I just want to tell people, you meet these people, you know they are extremely happily married. You know that they're equals in each other's lives. And it just radiates. It is so beautiful to see it right in front of you. And I do recommend, if you have a chance to go to one of their workshops, go. If nothing else, to see true happiness and love radiating. It is amazing energy.
Oh, thank you.
great stuff.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And that, actually, we're starting a whole new series of workshops beginning next June 2011, and it's we're going into an enormous direction. We feel like there is an energy surge of love on Earth like we have never experienced before. We are on fire with this energy, and we can't wait to get out there and message it. We've got so much to share.
So what is the workshop about then?
Well, it has had several different titles during the last 2 weeks, but tonight's title, and the one that is leading the pack, is How to Have a Fabulous Relationship. Take your love to a 10.
Oh, that's a great title.
Thank you.
And that's but title or not, that's what the workshop's going to be about.
Oh yeah, it's going to deliver. It's going to be fabulous.
Okay, so is it more for couples?
You know, that's a good question. No, it's not. It's for people who want to grow in love or are struggling in love. People who are single and wanting to meet their soulmate or their love mate, who want to learn how to love themselves more, who don't want to make the same mistakes. It's also for people who are in relationships where on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe it's a 7 or 8, and they want to have it be a 10. Or they might be thinking, I don't even know if I want to stay in this relationship.
Exactly. So it could be people who are married who, you know, I was married 18 years and I was lonely. Right there in the middle of a marriage, sharing my life under the roof with the man that I married, and I was so lonely. And so this workshop is going to be for everybody who has any interest in love and taking it to a 10, because everybody can have fabulous relationships.
And then there's other people who are not struggling, but they just are in love with love. They want to grow, and they are passionate about love. And we have so many people come to our workshops who are like you, Jen. They're just full of love, and you think, now, why are you even coming? You're already such a love master. And they say, because I want more. I want to go higher. And so that's the quality of person that is usually attracted to our workshops.
Scotty and I are can you believe, Scotty, we've been married 17 years. We've been together 18 years. And we never, I don't think for a second, have stopped growing in love. I mean, love has taken over. It took over our lives from the moment we got married, and it has been in charge. And it just keeps opening us and expanding us and creating more play, more joy, more intimacy, more spirituality, more depth, more beauty. Love has taken us on such a journey, and it is so fun and wonderful and deep and rich. And honestly, it's multidimensional. It's such high dimension. We want to share that with everybody.
In fact, we're going to do a free teleseminar for people to give them a taste of what it's really like, a good taste. And if anybody listening wants to attend that, just send an email to us at thelovecenter@gmail.com. thelovecenter@gmail.com.
So we'll be kicking off teleseminars next year, early next year, before Valentine's Day. And the first one, we've already decided to do it on the 6 secrets of love. It's powerful.
Ooh, that sounds intriguing.
Good.
I kind of want to make a correction on you, Shannon, in the fact that love started taking you on a journey the minute you two met. Don't you think?
I do.
I mean, just you guys were together a year before you got married, and it's like it's that initial connection. And Scott even said that the minute he heard your voice and saw you, knew that there was going to be a long-term relationship with you. So there's definitely was that connection. And you're definitely right, both of you, that the energy that's coming in is pure love, and everyone is very much getting the opportunity to have that true love, that one love that really makes you radiate at the highest vibration in love. And it's definitely a possibility, and it's a guarantee if you're open to it, but you got to do that work on yourself to really know when it's around.
Yeah,
you really do. And we're huge advocates of relationships, whether it's partnerships, whether it's married or not married, or, you know, just lovers or whatever. We're huge advocates of loving relationships, because something happens when people come into, and I'm not talking about the superficial stuff that you get mm-hmm. all the time in the movies and stuff. Love is not an emotion. It is a feeling, but it's not a human emotion. It's so much more. It is a presence. It is a vibration. It is an energy. It is something that you come to recognize over and over from your heart. Your heart won't lie. And as you come into it, you learn how to recreate it over and over until it starts flowing all the time. And it, honestly, the endorphins are just huge. It just makes you silly and giggle and laugh and playful and everything.
And Jen, I agree with something you just finished saying, that love, paraphrasing you said, is guaranteed if you're open to it. And that's what we've discovered. The people who are not open to love, they won't sign up for our workshop. The people who don't want to grow. So we are really speaking to the people who want to come to our workshops are the people who've basically said, I'm open. And when you're open, magical things happen.
And each one's so individual. You know, our story won't be your story. Each one has our own life, our own uniqueness, our own background, our own set of standards and ways of accessing our truth. What's great for you might not be great for me. We're all so individual, and I'll tell you without a doubt, Scott will agree with me, love, the divine love, the source of all love, has a plan for every single one of us, a plan for support, for mutual love and intimacy, for connectedness. We're meant to be connected. We're absolutely made for connection and for loveliness and sweetness and kindness and even politeness. We're just made for that. And I feel that this new energy is an awakening. It's like a love activation for us. It's opening hearts. It's opening interest. It's opening us up like never before. It's really interesting. What do you make of it, Jennifer?
It's very wonderful, much needed on this planet. The one thing that I'm also getting, the love vibration is you love everything. It's just like being part of that oneness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And feeling that bliss. Mm-hmm. And really being present to, as you said, Chan, that presence that is always there, always supportive, and always such a blessing to me when I feel that presence. It's like, okay, it's a good day. It makes a huge difference. It really does.
It really does. And so many people walk around with hearts full of love, really on fire with love, but they're not speaking it, and nobody knows, and they're not connecting because they don't know how. And really, that's part of the books we wrote. I mean, if people want to just get started, just pick up The Love You Deserve. This is our first book, The Love You Deserve, A Spiritual Guide to Genuine Love, and it just tells the 10 steps. And the one that you mentioned, Jennifer, is Love Skills for Personal and Global Transformation. We spent 3 years doing workshops trying to figure out what are the top 50 love skills. We had about 85, and we finally narrowed them down to 60. We couldn't get them to 50. There are really 60 love skills most of us were never taught and that are very simple. You'll recognize all of them. That's really easy. Love is easy. Anybody can do love.
Why do you think we're not taught it?
Well, that's, isn't that an amazing, you know, when you ask people, you really get down to the bottom line. What's the most important thing in your whole life? I mean, and when you really get to it, love is so important to us. We're all seeking to be loved, seeking to be in a relationship, seeking to be cared for. And yet it's the one area where we don't get trained. It's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous because love makes the world go round, and love is the power that unlocks the joy in our lives. There's nothing that can equal it, absolutely nothing. We need it in parenting. We need it in love mating. We need it in friendship, neighbors, community. We need it among nations. We need it everywhere. There's nowhere we do not require love.
Remember when we used to have the draft for soldiers in the United States? We need to have a draft for love. You have to go to love boot camp before you before you're 25.
I like that.
I think it should be before you're 25. I think it's like teenagers should start doing
well,
it.
Exactly.
If you think about it,
I mean, it should be taught.
You know, kids up to about 7 are so, well, it's probably younger now because they get bombarded at an early age with programming and stuff that really starts beating them down at a really early age. But it used to be around 7 to 13, they had that innocence. They knew what love was, and they just radiated it. They had no fear. They were just out there. And then, you know, society got a hold of them and taught them everything against love in a way.
Yeah.
And then you have to relearn about love again. You know, it's kind of a strange system, actually, but in a way it really reinforces the need and the necessity for love.
Yeah. And as you are saying and Shannon is saying, there's a huge energy opening now that's occurring that we can all feel, or it seems like most people can feel, and that's an energy that's very supportive of a higher dimension of love. In fact, it's an energy that is literally forcing us to come to grips with what is not loving in our lives.
I mean, even if you look at astrology-wise, right now Venus is in Scorpio, which is, talk about going to the depths of love. It really is a very, I mean, it goes down to your soul and brings it to the surface, the good, the bad, the ugly, for you to look at. So you see what pure love is.
Oh, lovely.
And it, right now it's actually going into retrograde tomorrow. So it's like, okay, let's review all the facts of our relationships in every area of our life. And see what happens. And it, we've got Mars, which is the planet of action, right on top of it. Also in Scorpio. So it's like, it's time to really check in with yourself, folks, and understand that love is available. Relationships are necessary. You really can't isolate yourself anymore. Humanity needs each other. And best to do it lovingly. And, like, stop the wars and all the negativity and all the manipulation and just really love and appreciate each other. The energy that's coming in is really kind of pulling back the veils. So telepathic communication, I am finding, is more and more prevalent. More people are just connecting at the heart level and feeling what the other person is. Empathy is increasing because of this powerful love energy that's coming in. So it's very interesting to be taking the psychic calls and hearing all the insecurities coming and just kind of calling it on it and just say, you know, everybody has their own life to live. If they don't call you for a couple of days, guess what? It's okay. That doesn't mean the relationship is over. It means they've got a lot on their plate and they're dealing with it. And really just giving them a little bit of a reality check that the relationship is still there. And it's interesting how many people are really checking in with their relationships and seeing if it really fits with them now.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
All these years that Scott and I have been married, and yet he still offers me sweet assurances all the time. He wants me at meetings. He makes me feel wanted. He makes me feel accepted. He makes me feel included all the time. We don't take each other for granted. I love what you're saying about the insecurities are coming in, and this is really a good thing, and we want to pay attention to that because we almost have to go into a pattern of self-forgiveness in order to feel worthy and deserving of love. And let's all do that right now. Let's just consider, hey, guess what? We've all made mistakes, a lot of them, big mistakes. Who hasn't? And mistakes we regret, or mistakes we feel bad about, even disappoint ourselves in ourselves. But it's okay. That's part of the human experience. It's part of how we learn anything. We make mistakes. That's what we do. And we're going to continue to make mistakes. But hopefully we're learning from our mistakes and we can forgive ourselves as we go. And I'll tell you, for one thing, I forgive myself for everything. There's nothing I've ever done that I would not forgive myself for. I'm in a state of perpetual forgiveness because I don't want to live in guilt and shame. It is low consciousness, and it would prevent me from being present for love, and I won't allow that. So I'm inviting everyone to enter in this place with me to love yourself and to understand you've made mistakes, and it's okay. We're not here to be perfect, and you're going to make more mistakes. It's okay. Just learn from them and enter into the place of love because you're qualified. You're pre-qualified. You're on the planet. You're pre-qualified for love. You deserve it. You're worthy. Now let's get on with it.
Beautiful thing to say. And
I like listening to you, both to both of you.
It's a good conversation.
Well, it's a great subject that really needs to be really out there more. So I thank you for doing your work and really amplifying and amplifying the love vibration, because you're letting people know it's okay.
Yeah.
You can say that you are love and that you are loved. And it's amazing how many people just need to know and give themselves permission to love.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that amazes me. That I said, you know, I give you permission to love yourself.
Yeah.
And it's like you just see this huge look and feeling of relief that it's okay to say, I love myself.
Isn't it wonderful? That I just don't know anything so sweet, because then life begins. We have love skills in our love skills book for just loving yourself. And they're like receive love generously. We usually get tears at the workshops because these loving people come in. We ask you, well, on a scale between 1 and 10, to what degree do you receive the love generously that comes into you? And, boy, they're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And to what degree are you cherishing your life purpose? And to what degree are you honoring and speaking your feelings, as we were talking about earlier? To what degree do you see yourself as a masterpiece? Loving people have a lot of resistance about that. A lot of judgment on seeing themselves as a masterpiece, and yet this is part of loving ourselves and practicing inner love talk instead of that hate talk, that critic that goes on and on. It's time to change our habits from hating ourselves, judging ourselves, being on our case, and start being our best friends and really love ourselves, love our bodies. Who does that anymore? And be visible and set boundaries and forgive yourself. These are wonderful ways to love ourselves.
Now, let me ask you a question. There's something that you brought up. Setting boundaries. So many people get a little confused about that. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
Well, it seems confusing to a loving person, because a loving person just wants to love. And if somebody is, you know, not treating you well, you think, oh, well, I don't want to stand up. I don't want to hurt their feelings. I mean, even if somebody's saying mean things about you that are abusive, a loving person oftentimes will take that because she or he really wants to be a loving person. But the truth is that love is powerful. Love is gentle and powerful simultaneously. So just as you spoke up to your father saying, you taught me to be respectful, and you said it with compassion and clarity, That was you standing in the power of love, setting boundaries for how you were willing to be treated.
Yes, and it's, you know, the one thing my parents, they taught me a lot of wonderful skills. And one of them was to be very independent and self-reliant. And in many ways, love myself before I love others, but they also taught me to make sure to take care of others.
Mm-hmm. That shows.
They really were really amazing people, and they still are amazing people these days. I'm very blessed to have my parents still living and very nearby. There is so many qualities that people forget need to really look in the mirror and just start talking to themselves. And my clients, I tell them, look in the mirrors. If I pick up any kind of self-esteem issues. Tell them to look in the mirror and just say, I love you. And if you can't go that far, just say, I like you. And start listing 5 to 10 things that you like about yourself.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
That's a wonderful practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good way to, I mean, especially as Shannon said, a lot of people really don't like their body. Mm-hmm. Start naming a few things that you do like. Your eyes are beautiful. Your smile is pretty. You know, you got beautiful colored hair and
good shoulders, you know, anything.
Anything. And it will build up that self-esteem to really love your body as it is. And even if you see a flaw, just say, you know I need to work on that, but I love that flaw because it's making me know that I'm still growing because I'm going to work on that.
Yay. Love it. Hey, Jennifer, we can't go off the air until you tell us, I mean, you are an accurate psychic. I love that quality. I so respect that gift. You have to do us. Are you willing?
A reading for you too?
Sure. Just in a few minute, little tiny mini reading.
Okay. The way I do readings is I do best with a question. The more specific the question, the more specific the answer. So what is your question?
Okay. The question is, will our workshop attract the people who really need to be there?
And the answer I'm getting is yes and more so.
Yay.
Meaning it's, I talked to Shannon about this, and I really saw both of you in your workshops and your work just being huge. Because I do feel more and more people are getting into that love vibration, but they need that guidance. They need those skills to really get the habits going that really are needed these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely see that your workshops, all of them, and I am going to do it right now and invite you to come back when you start really doing your workshops so we can really get it out there. Yet again, a little reminder. but you guys have a huge future. I suggest that you guys get a little rest because pretty soon you're going to be going nonstop.
I love you, Jennifer.
And we would love to come back on your show and be with you anytime.
Anytime. It's just a joy to be here and to talk to a like-minded one of the heart and of the soul and of the spirit and of the love that you share. You're just so beautiful. I so appreciate that your devotion to bringing people out and exposing their gifts and telling the world and making room for this to be appreciated and known. And, you know, you're just such a light. It's just an angel's work that you're doing, and I thank you so much. You do a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you very much, very, very much. So with that said, is there any last statements you want to say about your website, your workshops, your books? Is there anything else you would like to tell this audience about you and what you're doing?
Yeah, well, the most important thing that I want to say to the audience is I love you, we love you, and we want you to have a fabulous relationship. We want you to have fabulous relationships in your life. And take your love to attend. That's our commitment for you. You get within our vibration, that's what's going to happen to you because we are so committed to that. And you can learn a lot more by going to our website, which is thelovecenter.com, thelovecenter.com, or by sending an email to thelovecenter@gmail.com. And our books, The Love You Deserve, Love Skills, and Shannon's book, Love Heals, are wonderful ways to help uplift your life, but we're part of your success team.
Well said, Scotty. I say ditto, and we are invested in each one's rise to love. We want you there. We want you initiated and activated, engaged in a life full of love, with your heart open and you're feeling successful and confident and attracting people to you because you're so wonderful and loving and caring and connecting. And this is how people want, they want to connect to people like you. So that's what we stand for. And it's a constant invitation. And I might just add that Scotty said the lovecenter.com. We have over 100 videos teaching a free course on love skills. So there's so much, there's tons of articles. It's all free because it's a nonprofit, 501(c). That's how we organized it. It's a gift.
Now, one thing real quick, Shannon. You are a spiritual healer.
Yes.
Is there a specialty to your healing?
I specialize in, I do intuitive. Now, you're psychic. I'm not. I am intuitive. And so as I spend about an hour with someone, I can pretty much map out their soul. I pretty much can see, I can read it, what's happening, where it needs to go, where they are. And quite often, sometimes there's surprises, and sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I thought that too, you know? It's like just checking in and getting into alignment with where you are. My spiritual healing comes through prayer. It comes through intuition. It comes from being deeply meditative and full of love for people. I have no interest in judging anyone. I have an interest in being the presence of love so that healing comes forward in forms of miracles. And we're in a time now of miracles. No joke. I've been doing this 29 years. And in the last few years, the synchronicities are amazing. The power of healing is astonishing, truly. And I'm seeing so many deep transformations. In fact, just about all of us are in huge transformation right now on this planet. It's not an easy time, but it's really exciting and a great time for healing because that's how healing happens.
Most definitely. And with the intense healing, I mean, feeling that's going on there, do you kind of have any suggestions on how people handle the energy coming in? Because it is very intense.
It really is. The last couple of weeks, I'd say right now, I personally am feeling a calmness. But for the last couple of weeks, up until a couple of days ago, the energy that was coming in, my God, I couldn't even keep up with it. It felt intense. It felt stressful. It felt like overwhelm. It felt like, oh, God, I've got so much to do and so little time to do it. And so when I feel these energies coming in, I go, okay, these are coming to bless us. These energies are bringing transformation. They're doing us. We don't have to fight them. The best thing to do is surrender, breathe into it, become still and quiet, observe. Ask the energies, what are you here to teach me? I want to learn. And learn whatever it is that's the blessing that's bringing you.
See, I was pretty smart. I married a good cow, didn't I?
Yes, you did. I was going to make a comment about licking her, but I won't go there.
it's fun.
So, again, Scott, Shannon, Peck, amazing work. Thank you so much for being on the show, for doing your work.
Oh, I look
forward to having you two on again and staying in touch. Really, thelovecenter.com, check it out. They're wonderful people. You can get in touch with them if you want to send them an email, thelovecenter@gmail.com. Highly recommend you check out their websites. Their videos are amazing. It's just tremendous information. Just take your time, go through it, learn from it, grow from it. Love is possible for everyone. They're here to help you make sure you get it, and you just got to be open. One of the other things I always say is with an open mind and an open heart, dreams become reality. So you got to just be open to the possibility, and everybody is love and loved. And with that, this is Jennifer Hellman saying, with each breath of air, we hope you gain new insights and inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.